be continued unabated. Yes. How responsible is the media for Donald Trump?
Oh, I don't listen. I don't necessarily believe that a full court press on his untruthfulness would necessarily change it. I mean, he was voted for, but I do think he is generally the conclusion to years of, he makes sense if you view it through the prism of talk radio. I like to drive, and so I listen to talk radio, and it is 24/7 of your country is being taken away from you. As far as I can tell, the conservative side or on the right side, they feel an ownership over America. They are the stewards of America. They are its forebearers. Exactly. Republicans, conservatives love America. They just hate like 50% of the people living in it.
We are all suffering, and we're suffering bigly, and it's getting worse.
It looks like the general election will come down to Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, which is fitting, really, since she'll be the first, you know, female nominee of her party, and he'll be his party's last nominee.
Right now, the Republican Party is facing, the plane is headed towards the mountain after the last 72 hours, and you have Mark Kirk unendorsed. Mark Kirk's going to lose anyway. I'm not a Mark Kirk fan. I don't believe in casting aspersions on him. He's not going to get reelected. Lindsey Graham is a very serious student of the world. He's a with whom I've disagreed often, but in the last 2 years on ISIS, he's absolutely right. And he speaks for a lot of people. He says he cannot vote for Donald Trump. I'm disappointed to hear that. I'll talk to Lindsey Graham about that. You know, I want to support the nominee of the party, but I think the party ought to change the nominee because we're going to get killed with this nominee. And I have never said that. I waited till after the primary was over. I stayed Switzerland to the end, and the 72 hours dovetailed with that. They ought to get together and let the convention decide. And if Donald Trump pulls over a makeover in the next 4 to 5 weeks, great. They can keep him. It would be better if he had done so 5 weeks ago.
The son of the former president, Michael Reagan. Mike, it's always a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you, my friend. Let's go ahead and begin in order, if we can. First of all, Paul Ryan, saying that Donald Trump's criticism of the Hispanic American judge in question here is a textbook definition of a racist comment, and said he regrets the remark. What's your take on that when Ryan comes out and makes that sort of a statement at such a critical juncture?
Ryan's trying to protect the Republican Party on the downside of the ticket, the House side of the ticket. He can see that just absolutely eroding with the statement put out by Donald Trump. Therefore, Paul Ryan has to say something to say, listen, this is not where the Republican Party wants to stand. We don't want to stand in that same square that Donald Trump is putting us in. Please vote for your congressman. Vote to keep us in charge in the House of Representatives. That's what that was all about. There's a lot of people who think that Donald Trump would be an absolute disaster for the world, not just America. I didn't vote for Donald Trump today, and my father wouldn't have voted for Donald Trump today because as a Reagan, I'm not going to support somebody who's so demeaning.
We're going to rebuild our inner cities, which are absolutely a shame and so sad. We're going to take care of our African-American people that have been mistreated for so long.
That's right. I also vow to take care of African-American people. Hello. How are you? Good afternoon. It's a Ray Lytle show. I'm Ray Lytle along with my co-host, the one and only Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Thank you, Ray. Hey, how are you doing today?
Better than so many others, but yet worse than some is as well, I guess.
Boy, there's a lot going on. Oh my God! Right now.
And as always, you know. And by the way, I guess technically this is the first official show. Legally, yes. Technically, all those things, you know.
The other one was just a test.
Yeah. We legally, technically, we are able to do this thing now, which is pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels liberating.
Yeah. I'm going to start doing it with no pants, and I'll be even more liberated. Well, listen, what a show. It is a Ray Lytle show, and thank you for tuning in. We've got many things to talk about. But let's face it. The thing we've got to lead off with is the thing that anybody talks about. Anybody who's anybody, they're talking about Donald Trump.
Well, he just, for some reason, he's a phenomenon that is just taking over the 24-hour news cycle.
And people believe, it's, you know what it reminds me of? Do you remember when Ebola was coming to the United States and there were people
that
no matter what you said, they were still 100% convinced we were all going to die of Ebola. Those people who were convinced we were all going to die of Ebola, they're the same people that are voting for Donald Trump. They are. They're the same people that have some kind of fear that a transgendered person is going to rape their daughter in the bathroom. They're the same people that have fears of... They just have irrational fear over everything. And the irrational crowd has found someone to latch on to tightly. And his name is Donald Trump.
But unfortunately, with the field of pathetic offerings that somehow out of a country of 300 million people, that doesn't help. It helps feed this fear.
Here's what you got going on. I've been amused by Donald Trump. You know that. The entire campaign, he has amused me. I've enjoyed sitting back and watching it because it's such a nightmare scenario. It's such a train wreck. And I don't know why I would laugh at a train wreck, but for some reason I've really enjoyed watching the thing. Like when he attacked John McCain for being a war hero, you know, I found it amusing that all these people were defending him. I just, you know, when he said horrible things, remember the time he mocked the guy, the New York Times reporter who was
the reporter
disabled?
With the handicap.
Yeah, and he was mocking him going, you know, and he's making
the gestures.
Yes. I laughed because, and you remember this, we were on the other station, and I was saying, oh my God, I cannot believe he's getting more support after doing that.
Well,
every time when I laughed when he said, we just got to bother, we have to ban the Muslims, all the Muslims, we got to ban them. And everybody, still more people went on to follow him. I was amazed by and amused.
He has gone all in with the scorched earth policy.
Yeah. And now, of course, it's the Mexican judge.
And he's totally ridiculous.
Oh my God. He's
even
doubled
his
down.
Own staffers are telling him you've got to calm this down.
Yeah.
But it's typical, and I'll give him one thing, he's consistent. He's sticking with the scorched earth policy of politics.
But he refuses to apologize. And listen, here's the thing with this. I tell you what, this one has legs. And I'm going to tell you, I'm probably going to be wrong. And next week, I'll probably be saying, boy, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm telling you, this has legs. And I'll explain, Tommy. Because let's look at what he said. All right. What he said was that he thinks that this judge can't do his job because he's a Mexican. That's what he said. He said, he goes, this man's Mexican heritage makes it impossible for him to do his job.
Impartial.
That's what started this. Yeah, that's what started this, okay? Let's remember that.
Let's remember he's a federal judge who was born in this country. He wasn't a Mexican immigrant that became a federal judge.
For anyone to say, I don't care if you're a ditch digger, for you to say you can't be a ditch digger because of the color of your skin or your heritage or your sexuality or your gender, any of those things, is bigoted. It's bigoted, and it's flat-out racist in this case,
to say
that because the guy is Mexican, he's unable to do his job as a judge. And he's even saying things like, well, you know, he's because of the wall and blah, 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 blah. And it shouldn't matter. He's a judge. When he's on the bench, his personal feelings don't matter. That is the qualifications of being a judge. So he was on Jake Tapper. And Tapper was interviewing him, all right, about his criticism, interviewing him about, A, his criticism of Hillary Clinton. And then, and we're going to listen to this, and then it goes off into him refusing, he's refusing to apologize for what he said about the judge. So I want to play, we're going to start with this. This will be our first clip today. We'll start with him. It starts with him talking about Hillary Clinton. Let's give it a listen, and I'll stop it so we can comment during it. Here's Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton was giving a speech. She had some very tough things to say about you. One of the things she said...
She wasn't giving. She was reading a speech that was written by other people, okay? But go ahead.
Okay.
Soundbite.
By the way, a very stupid comment to say, because now that he's won the nomination, he's going to start using a teleprompter. In fact, last night... At the end of the California primary, he gave a speech where he used the teleprompter. So for him to say she wasn't giving a speech, she was reading it. Why would he say that knowing that he's going to start reading speeches? There's not a lot of he doesn't put any forethought in anything. He really doesn't.
No, he don't. He flies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
One of the things she said was, this is not someone who should have the nuclear codes. It's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us into war because someone got under his very thin skin. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, I don't have thin skin. I have very strong, very thick skin. And when somebody's right about me, I always, you know, if you do a report and it's not necessarily positive, but you're right, I never complain. I do complain when it's a lie or when it's wrong. But I have a strong temperament, and it's a very good temperament.
I'm sorry, did he just say he has a good... It's a very good... I have a very good temperament. The best temperament. I have a very good temperament. It's a strong temperament.
And it's a very in-control temperament, or I wouldn't have built this unbelievable company. I wouldn't have built all of the things that I've been able to do in life. I've been number one bestsellers.
But O.J. Simpson, by the way, was a number one bestseller. I just want to point that out. Being a number one bestseller has nothing to do with a person's temperament. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever.
One of the best-selling books of all time. Tremendous television success.
I don't think anyone did.
I've been successful.
Wait, did he just say tremendous television success is another example of his good temperament?
A reality show is great success.
I've had lots of TV success. That makes me, I've got a good temperament.
Wait a minute, Jake. I've been successful in every business I've been in, if you think. Real estate, one of the most successful.
Except for the ones that he had to declare bankruptcy on. Real estate. I'll actually give him that. I think in order to be a real estate magnate, you probably have to have a good temperament. I'll actually give him that example.
Television, The Apprentice. Which,
all right, that's the second time you brought that up, all right? And we've already said that temperament has no... What the hell's that got to do with anything?
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't the premise of the show, the whole thing that everybody tuned into, was for him to tell people, you're fired?
Yeah, the whole thing. And by the way, he didn't run the show. Mark Burnett ran the show. There were producers, directors. They're the people that ran the show. He showed up every once in a while and said, you're fired. That's what he did.
Yeah, and berated people for the lack of effort and stuff they did. So I wouldn't call that great temperament. I would call that distemperament.
Yeah. His temperament was getting angry at something someone would say in a boardroom and fire them. It's not an example of good temperament.
I mean, NBC came to me. They wanted to renew so badly, you have no idea.
Well, what does that have to do with temperament? You're barely...
NBC wanted to renew so bad, they love... What does that have to do? He goes like, what does that have to do with anything?
There's a lot to do. You
can't have that success without good temperament. And I will say this. I was thinking about the word temperament. And we need a strong temperament in this country. We have been led by weak people. Weak, ineffective people. Countries have taken advantage of us, whether it's militarily or otherwise. We have been taken advantage of by everybody. We have people with weak temperaments. I have a very strong temperament, but I have a temperament that's totally under control. And, you know, she mentions that I'll bring us into war. She's the one that wanted to go into Iraq. I mean, she raised her hand. She didn't know what the hell she was doing. She raised her hand.
Well, I'll give him that. She didn't raise her hand. She actually voted yes. But he is right. I mean, you know, she did vote
she
yes.
Bought into, yeah. She bought into it.
She bought into George Bush's bullcrap, and as did I. I'll admit it, I bought into it as well.
I kind of thought it was going to be a giant fiasco, but that's for another time.
it took about 3 months to realize, oh my God, it's a quagmire. We're stuck. But still, at the time, I bought into it just like she did. And by the way, because of that fact, because just like her, I bought into it, that makes me...
A bad-tempered person? No.
It backfires for him because I forgive her for that one because I have to forgive myself for it. So I would watch that argument with her. I would watch making that argument of, well, she bought into it, you know, blah, 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 because a lot of us bought into it at that time. A lot of us bought it, especially people like myself, who at one point leaned one way and now lean another way.
Well, I always believed that, yes, he did have weapons of mass destruction, i.e. yeah. chemical weapons, because, A, we sold them fighting Iran.
And the thing is like we were told by the people that we are supposed to trust most that that's what was going on. So, I mean, I just think that that's a weak argument. There's a lot of arguments you make against Hillary Clinton. That's a pretty weak one because I'm telling you, that one comes back to bite you in the behind. Because a lot of people bought into it. But anyway, But I will say that he is right. I mean, and that's a good comeback for him to say, well, wait a minute, for her to say, I'm going to get in the war. I've never voted for us to go to war. She has. That's actually a really good line, and Trump should save that one. However, don't dwell on it because a lot of other people were fooled. And all she has to say is, I'm sorry, I was fooled. I listened to what I was told were the facts, and it turned out we were being lied to. And that's where he has to watch it. All right, let's continue and listen to his talking about Hillary Clinton.
I said, I don't want to go into Iraq. Iraq is going to destabilize the Middle East. And I was 100% right.
I want to ask you about comments you made about the judge.
All right, now we're going to go to the judge, okay, and get ready for it. Get ready for him doubling down.
In the Trump University case, you said that you thought it was a conflict of interest that he was the judge because he's of Mexican heritage, even though he's from Indiana. Yeah. Hillary Clinton.
By the way, I just want to point out that he's shaking his head yes, and he goes, okay, yeah, yeah. All right, let's listen to more.
Then said that is a racist attack on a federal judge.
Oh, you know, she's so wonderful, you know. I mean, here's a woman that should be put in jail for what she did with her emails, and she's commenting on this.
That's some fine temperament right there. I'd like to point out that's some fine temperament to go.
Totally deflecting anything.
Listen.
And blaming something totally different. Not having to do anything with racism.
Listen to how this man with, I have strong temperament. I have good temperament. Listen to how this man reacts to hearing this about Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton said that is a racist attack on a federal judge.
Oh, you know, she's so wonderful, you know. I mean, here's a woman that should...
Oh, yeah, she's so wonderful, huh? Oh, my God.
...be put in jail for what she did with her emails, and she's commenting on this. Let me just tell you. It's very simple. I have a case where thousands of people have taken this course, and thousands of people have said great reviews. Fortunately, just about everybody that took the courses have signed a review, an evaluation, they call it. And it's gotten tremendous marks. Thousands. I don't mean like two people. I mean thousands of people. Okay. I have a situation where the woman that brought the case. She was the plaintiff. She was deposed. She was found to be a disaster for them as a witness because she gave an evaluation that was like the best evaluation you've ever heard. Wait just one second.
Okay.
And she did a tape, like from your camera, saying that this school was fantastic. It was fantastic. They went to the judge and they said, Your Honor, we don't want her anymore to be our plaintiff. So we said, let's dismiss the case. That's okay. Let's dismiss the case. And he said, no, I won't dismiss the case and she doesn't have to be the plaintiff.
Let
me tell
you.
I'll tell you what it has.
What does that have to do with his heritage? Yeah. And then because what he's telling Jake Tapper right there, that's not what he said. What he said was, you know, this judge can't rule fairly because he's a Mexican. That's what was said.
What to do? I have had ruling after ruling after ruling that's been bad rulings, okay? I've been treated very unfairly. Before him, we had another judge. If that judge was still there, this case would have been over 2 years ago. Let me just tell you. I have had horrible rulings. I've been treated very unfairly by this judge. Now, this judge is of Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall. I am going to do very well with the Hispanics, the Mexicans.
So no Mexican judge could ever be involved in a case that involves you?
He's a member of a society where, you know, very pro-Mexico, and that's fine. It's all fine.
Now it's fine. It's all fine. But what he just said is, okay, And by the way, this is how dumb the man is. That was his out. He goes, he belongs to this organization that's very pro, you know. And then he goes, and that's fine. That's fine. So what he's basically saying is, I don't have any problem that he's part of this organization. Okay?
And he's speaking about La Raza, correct?
Yeah, he's speaking about, yeah, the guy's a member. There's a lot of Hispanic lawyers are members of a group called La Raza. And just for full disclosure, I'm part of a group called Hispanic Professionals of America. You know, it's Hispanic Professionals of America. That's a lot of us are group. A lot of us are part of groups that further the cause of. If you are a member of a class, all right, that has faced hardship, all right, you know. There's always organizations just where people can
you network.
Yeah, you network. You talk to people. You get connections. You know, we're not. It's not. Listen, the Catholics have been doing it for years with their organization, with the Knights of Columbus,
the Irish.
Black people have done it with the NAACP. Hell, every Rotary Club does it. La Raza is one of those organizations, and a lot of Mexican lawyers belong to La Raza, okay? That's what he's talking about. But let's listen to more of Donald Trump.
You're calling into question his heritage.
I think he should recuse himself.
Because he's
Latino.
Then
you also say, does he know the lawyer on the other side? I mean, does he know the lawyer? You know, a lot of people say
yes. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
that. That's another problem.
But you're invoking his race when talking about whether or not he can do his job.
Jake, I'm building a wall, okay? I'm building a wall. I'm trying to keep business out of Mexico. Mexico's fine. There's nothing.
But he's American. He's an American.
He's of Mexican heritage, and he's very proud of it, as I am where I come from.
But he's
my
an
parents.
American. You keep talking about
Jake.
It's a conflict
Jake,
of interest because of Mexico.
Are you ready? I have a case that should have been dismissed already. I have thousands of people saying Trump University is fantastic, okay? I have a case that should have been dismissed. I have a judge that never, ever gives a. Now we lose the plaintiff. He lets the plaintiff of the case out. So why isn't he canceling the case? So we thought we won the case.
So you disagree with his rulings.
I understand
that. But
I've had lawyers come up to me say, you are being treated so unfairly, it's unbelievable. You know, the plaintiffs in the case have all said wonderful things about the school, and they're suing. You know why they're suing? Because they want to get their money back.
I don't really want to litigate the case
you have to.
Of Trump University.
Because if he was giving me fair rulings, I wouldn't say that.
My question is,
Jake, if you were giving me fair rulings, I wouldn't be talking to you this way. He's giving me horrible
rulings. I don't care if you criticize him. That's fine. You can criticize every decision. What I'm saying is, if you invoke his race as a reason why he can't do his job...
I think that's why he's doing it.
But
okay. Now, did you hear that?
That's because he's doing it.
That's why he's doing it. I want to play this. I want to play this again. For all you people out there saying, well, Donald Trump didn't mean that. He didn't mean that his race has anything to do with it. What he meant was, and every expert out there... Every expert is telling us what Donald Trump meant. Donald Trump is going to tell you right now why he said what he said. Let me replay this.
Rulings, I wouldn't say that.
My question is...
Jake, if you were giving me fair rulings, I wouldn't be talking to you this way. He's giving me horrible rulings.
I don't care if you criticize him. That's fine. You can criticize every decision. What I'm saying is, if you invoke his race as a reason why he can't do his job...
I think that's why he's doing it.
But...
Yeah. If you invoke his race as to why he's doing it, Trump says, but that's why he's doing it. That's why he's doing it. Trump believes the reason this man can't do his job is because he is Mexican. Now, my God, that is the definition of racism. For anyone that says it isn't racist, look up the definition of the word.
And you haven't even begun to build a wall yet.
Yes, but he's somehow claiming because this guy is Hispanic, because he's his father's Mexican. Because of that, this guy has it out for him, according to Donald Trump's. And by the way, this guy was born in Indiana. Okay. According to what Donald Trump's saying, I should somehow be ruling, or I could not do this show. I could not do this show and be fair to him because I'm Mexican, according to Donald Trump's logic.
Even though you're from Illinois.
Even though I'm from Illinois. By the way, even though I'm against illegal immigration, can we put that out there too? I'm not a fan of illegal immigration. I'm fine for the people coming over legally. I think we need to fix our I think we need to fix our policies in this country to allow more hardworking people to come over here and start paying taxes. I think they should raise the number of green cards they give to people from Mexico. I definitely think that should happen. I don't think that people should just be able to come over whenever they want. You know what I mean?
To be honest, I can't even begin to break down the percentages, but millions of these people are not of Mexican descent.
Yeah.
They're from, Costa Rica.
Guatemala.
El Salvador.
Yeah, they're from Central America, too. You're right.
And they're passing through Mexico. And of course, Mexico doesn't have the systems set in place to handle all these refugees coming through. So, yes, they're trying to get them up to the border as fast as they can, and I can't blame them for that. Yeah. But to think that this whole problem is Mexicans,
Tommy,
is ridiculous.
I'll be honest. I'm not even opposed to sections of the borders having more walls. I'm not even opposed to that, okay? What I'm opposed to is the allegation that somehow every person of Mexican descent is up to no good, because that's not true. It's the same as if he was saying every person from Italy is in the mob because they have arrested people who are Italian who have been in the mob before, you know what I mean? Or every black person is in a gang because gang arrests predominantly bring in African-American people. And that's what he doesn't understand. Now, let's listen to more.
I think that's why he's doing it.
When Hillary Clinton says it's a racist...
Oh, my God, listen, he doubled down. He doubled down. Oh, my God.
That's his M.O. You know this.
I'm going to play it one more time. Anybody who's out there thinking, and you're trying to make excuses that Donald Trump did not say something racist, I'll let you hear it from his words. Unedited, here you go.
Criticize him. That's fine. You can criticize every decision. What I'm saying is, if you invoke his race as a reason why he can't do his job...
That's why he's doing it.
When Hillary Clinton said...
Said, if you invoke his race as the reason he can't do his job, he says, but that's why he's doing that. I think that's why he's doing that. That's racism. The fact that the man who wants to be president can't tell that that's a racist statement is troubling. And the fact that there are people going, well, yeah, he's right. That's even troubling too. Now, if you find out he's part of this organization and he has and he's got some secret conspiracy against you, then you say this man is against me because he's part of a conspiracy to bring me down, or this man is against me. My lawyers have proof, and we're going to go ahead and file that. There is a process to protect you from corrupt judges, because corrupt judges exist. But to say a judge is corrupt because of his skin color is racist. It's un-American. It's just not what our morals are in this country. And the fact that he doesn't understand that there's a difference is bothering me.
It's a racist attack.
Hillary Clinton is a stiff. If Hillary Clinton
Paul
becomes
Ryan
president,
today, Paul I mean, Ryan today said he didn't care for the way that you were attacking this judge.
Look, I'm just telling you, Paul Ryan doesn't know the case. Here's the story.
Isn't it the definition?
I should have won this case on summary judgment. This is not a case. This is a case I should have won on summary judgment. Do you know the law firm paid Hillary Clinton hundreds of thousands of dollars to make speeches? Do you know the law firm?
I do. We've reported it on my show.
Okay,
in
good.
Fact.
Well, I'm glad you're the only one. Wait a minute. The law firm paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to Hillary Clinton for speeches.
Before either of you were
running for
president.
She wasn't worth it. Everybody fell asleep during a speech.
Before either of you were running for president.
And once again, that's that good temperament. That's that good temperament.
She's a stiff.
They paid her hundreds of thousands of dollars to give speeches before everyone fell asleep listening to her boring speech. I mean, come on. Such good temperament.
But they did. But here's the fundamental question.
You know that they've contributed tremendous amounts of money to her campaign?
Yes.
Do you know they've contributed a lot of money to Eric Schneiderman, New York Attorney General?
Here's my question.
No, do you...
And here's the thing. None of the judge didn't do anything. He doesn't have any proof that the judge is somehow doing that. He's saying the law firm that's opposing him, for those that don't understand what he's talking about, he's saying the law firm that's representing the plaintiffs who are suing him over Trump University. And by the way, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know the whole Trump University case. It seems like these were adults. And yeah, I mean, there was a bit of a con job. I'll give him that. I'll give them that. But to turn around, you're the one that made the decision to give something called Donald Trump University tens of thousands of your dollars. You know,
yeah,
the fact that you did that makes it very hard for me to feel sorry for you.
Yeah, so, that to me, that was kind of joining some sort of, you know, like Amway.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes you have to take responsibility for your horrible decisions. And, you know, the other thing is if he would have said, hey, why didn't I win this thing in summary judgment? It's fine, but for him to say the reason that I didn't and the reason it's unfair is because the guy's a Mexican. That is what is racist.
That's the problem that we're having.
And even when given a chance to apologize or given a chance to say, oh, you know what, I was misunderstood or I misspoke, anything, he doubles down and says, that's why he did it. I think that's why he did it. I mean, and
which is very, very telling.
And this is a guy
he's willfully ignorant of the definition of racism.
Or he just doesn't care. Yeah.
Which is just as bad.
Yeah. And he wants to be president.
You know that?
I did not know that.
Do you know that these people went to every attorney general practically in the country that they could? And do you know this case was turned down by almost every attorney general from Texas to Florida to many of these states?
Is it not when Hillary Clinton says this is a racist attack?
He can only name two.
And you reject that. If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all.
No?
No.
By the way, it is.
It is?
That gives
and
you,
I know it is, Ray.
There's your answer, Tommy. There's your answer. He just doesn't understand the race. He doesn't understand the definition of racism.
I really do believe that he doesn't think, that he doesn't know.
Yeah. I agree.
He's been surrounded by so many yes men all of his life.
Which is sycophants, yeah.
Say what he wants. Actually believes this BS that he's spewing.
I'll say something. I honestly don't think he is intentionally being racist. I just think that he is oblivious as to what it is. You know, I think if he realized, like, oh, that is racism, I shouldn't say that. But you're right, I don't think he realizes that. I think he's so caught up in his own stuff. He's so caught up that he just refuses. He refuses to ever admit he's wrong. He refuses to ever admit that maybe his idea isn't the best. All right, let's pick it up. Here we go again. One
job
time.
Because of his race. Is that not the definition of racism?
No, I don't think so at all.
No?
No. He's proud of his heritage. I respect him for that.
You're saying he can't do his job because of it?
Look, he's proud of his heritage, okay? I'm building a wall. Now, I think I'm going to do very well
he's
with
a legal
Hispanics.
Citizen.
You know why I'm going to do well with Hispanics? Because I'm going to bring back jobs, and they're going to get jobs right now. They're going to get jobs. I think I'm going to do very well with Hispanics, but we're building a wall. He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico. The answer is, he is giving us very unfair rulings. Rulings that people can't even believe. This case should have ended years ago on summary judgment. The best lawyers, I have spoken to so many lawyers, they said, this is not a case. This is a case that should have ended. This judge is giving us unfair rulings. Now I say why. Well, I'm building a wall, okay? And it's a wall between Mexico, not another country.
But he's not from Mexico.
In my opinion,
he's from Indiana.
He's Mexican heritage, and he's very proud of it.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, right? I've never heard anything. This interview is so telling as to how this man thinks.
It's more of an indictment of narcissism than it is of true. Racism.
I tell you, he's oblivious. I invite anyone. This is from CNN. I got that from CNN. All right. If you can go to CNN.com or even easier, go to the CNN YouTube channel and watch their videos just to see the look on Jake Tapper's face as he's got this look on his face like, oh my God, I can't believe this man is. I just can't believe it. He's
just
shocked.
Waiting for one of these reporters. Or journalists, whatever you want to call them, should just start banging his head on a desk.
For a man with such a ubiquitous presence, a man with so much with such a following right now, for him to be so oblivious and continue to insult an entire race of people. I mean, I'm going to tell you, for me, this is just my personal thing, Tommy. You know what I feel about illegal immigration. You and I have been friends for many years. You and I talk off the air. You know how I feel about illegal immigration, okay? For him to say that, of course, this Mexican isn't going to like him because he's building a wall. And when Jake Tapper says, well, he's not from Mexico, he's from Indiana, he goes, he's building a wall. He's of Mexican heritage. So the fact that he automatically feels that the default position of all Mexicans is just that.
That you can't love your country that
yes.
you're in.
Yes, that's it's also racist.
But
it's
still
offensive.
Be proud of your heritage and be able to separate yeah. the two is offensive. I can understand
it's
that.
It's racist, and it is offensive. And the fact that he doesn't understand that bothers me. I mean, it really does. It's troubling. I think the Trumps are what? Is he Scottish? I don't know what his background is. I think he's some type of European. Would he be the same? You know, does that mean that he's going to come into president and he's automatically going to open immigration to whatever country he is from? Because his implications are just that somehow a person who is Mexican, and by the way, of course he's not going to do that, but in his heart. And in his mind, a Mexican does not have, and this is where people are going to come, this is where Steve Lucas and those guys are going to send me letters. But I'm going to tell you right now, in his heart, he feels that a Mexican-American does not have the faculties to separate the two. That's what he thinks, okay?
Which is ridiculous.
And there in itself lie the racism.
Exactly.
And by the way, Jake Tapper gave, of CNN, gave him every chance in the world to take it back. I think Tapper was. I hear him insulting Tapper, and I can't believe it. Because I'll tell you what. Tapper was very fair to him in that interview. He let him.
Oh.
He gave him plenty of opportunities, and he clarified over and over again, and saying, "Let's make it clear. Do you think this?" And he said it. And then he'd ask again. He'd go, "I just want to make it clear. Do you feel because he's a Mexican, he can't do his job?" And he goes, "Yes, that's what I think. That's what I think."
He gave him every opportunity to say, to yeah. clarify for himself, you know, wait, and you know, maybe what I said was insensitive.
And a man
maybe I said this in the wrong form. You know, maybe I should talk about this judge and his affiliations with this law firm other than just a blanket statement of it's because he's of Hispanic descent, he can't rule impartially.
And you know that there are people that were working with him that are saying, no, tell them that people misunderstood. Tell them that you misspoke. Say, no, here's the reason this is what I meant. What I meant was that he's a part of these organizations, he has a history of ruling against us, blah, blah, blah. But yet he's given the chance. He's given the opportunity to come out and say, do you think it's his race and he is his heritage? And he says over and over again that, yes, that is the reason. That's what's
think
so
of
troubling.
How frustrating this must be to be employed on his staff.
Yeah.
Because, and he's right, there's one thing he said, and if he doesn't shut his mouth, he's going to ruin it. There are lots of Mexicans that love the conservative platform.
Yes, yes. I have family members. I have
they
family
are anti-abortion yes. because most of them are Catholic. I'm not trying to make a generalization.
Right, I know that, yeah.
A lot of them are Catholic.
But I mean,
they're
listen, I have family members who are diehard conservatives and Mexican who love the fact. Do you know when he says things like, which is funny because he also says things like, Mexicans love me. They love the fact that I'm going to build the wall. Yes, there are a lot of them that do. I've had a family of, you know, my family, my wife's family. They're both Mexican. And on my mother's side and on my wife's mother's side. By the way, my father's side is Dutch, Scottish, and my wife is a German.
They came here legally.
Yeah, yeah, but still, but I'm saying that in my family, because Ronald Reagan gave amnesty in the 80s, okay? When Ronald Reagan gave amnesty in the 80s, automatically a bunch of my family members started voting Republican. That's when they went Republican. So the people who are somehow under the belief that Mexicans have always voted liberal are crazy because they haven't. They voted because of the amnesty. My grandfather demanded that we vote Republican. I volunteered on the Ronald Reagan campaign in 1984 because my grandfather loved him.
Well, it is also, I mean, loved this man. They're pro-family.
Yeah.
They're anti-abortion.
Yeah. Voted, really supported George Herbert Walker Bush because of the fact that he was Ronald Reagan's vice president and Reagan gave us amnesty. So he, my grandfather's like, I got to vote the Republican. I'm serious. So when Trump says things like there are a lot of Mexicans that agree with him, he is right. This is when you say stuff like this, though, you're going to start losing those people.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you have to. I mean, it's impossible.
It's the whole the beaten wife syndrome. You can only hit us so many times. I mean, you said that we were rapists and criminals, and then we forgave you saying, well, you know, he was talking about just the illegals, and he wasn't talking about all of them. He was talking about some. So people realize they forgave him.
The cartel members, yeah. You know, and they understand that.
Yeah, and he talked about Mexicans bringing drugs and stuff. We understood that. But when you get to the point of saying that because of your heritage, now it's not just the illegals, and you're attacking a guy born in Indiana, now it's not just the illegals. Now you're attacking people who were born in the United States. I am 100% American. Both of my parents were born in the United States. By the way, according to Donald Trump standards, I'm more American than him because his mother was born in Europe. Both my parents were born in the United States. I am 100% American. I consider myself an American. I don't consider myself a Mexican from the country of Mexico. I consider myself of Mexican heritage. I also consider myself of Dutch and Scottish heritage. That's what I do. That's, you know, which, I, you know, I will root for the Netherlands in the World Cup when the United States is out. That's pretty much all my, it's pretty much all that heritage is good for, is it gives me a team to root for in the Olympics or the World Cup. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is I don't identify as being someone from Mexico or being from the Netherlands or being from Scotland. I identify with being an American. For him to go out and say that that is impossible for me to do that simply because of my Mexican heritage, and my Mexican heritage makes me against him because he wants to build a wall, because he wants to, I mean, let's go a step further. So he wants to invoke the law of the land somehow because that I'm against him wanting to follow the law of immigration, and because it is impossible for me to not be against him. That's what's troubling. And the fact that he doesn't see it, it just makes me crazy. But this week, I mean, we might as well just call the segment This Week in Trump News, because I can guarantee through November, this election's going to be top of the news cycle. You know, it really is.
And the worst, I don't know. To me, it really stinks right now.
Yeah.
I am not a Hillary Clinton fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I mean, and I'll tell you who isn't a Hillary Clinton, who else isn't a Hillary Clinton fan, and that is Bernie Sanders supporters. And I'm going to tell you, Bernie Sanders is also playing, in my opinion, Bernie Sanders is playing a very dangerous game right now. He is mathematically eliminated. There's no way he can win the nomination. It can't happen. And yet he keeps hanging on and taking shots at Hillary Clinton, giving ammunition, by the way, to the Trump campaign. If I were a diehard liberal Democrat, all right, as you know, I do lean liberal. I would not say, I mean, I'm a pro-gun liberal. I have been most my entire life. you know, but I was a pro-gun liberal that voted Republican many times. I wouldn't say I'm a die-hard Democrat. I am a die-hard liberal. But for Bernie Sanders to do what he's doing, it's a very dangerous game because of the fact that rather than doing what he should do, Bernie Sanders should have been, you know, making deals with Hillary Clinton to say, hey, listen, I will help you get my followers if you agree to move left and you agree to take on my policies regarding this or that or, you know, whatever it is, and move Hillary Clinton to the left on some of those very important issues, one of them being, you know, income inequality, you know. Another one of them being power of the banks. Another one being climate issues. Another one being legalization of marijuana. There's a lot of issues that Bernie Sanders touched on that he should have gone to Hillary Clinton months ago and said, "Hi, Hillary, it has become obvious you're going to win. Now I will step out of the way if you agree to take up my platform on this, 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 this." And he has refused to do that. In fact, he continues attacking her to where we have his followers, which are currently a group of followers that just don't vote. Right? A lot of young people who refuse to vote. Those are the people who are really following him. Would you agree that that's a large amount of his followers, Tommy?
I would believe. I don't know if it's so much that
a lot of millennials, a lot of millennials who have never voted before.
I will say there are millennials that have never voted.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't say this cycle, count them as people that aren't going to vote.
Well, and here's the deal. Some of those people, and I hope not a lot, but some of those people are now going to say, you know what, I hate Hillary Clinton. Bernie has told me what a bitch Hillary is, and I hate her so much, I will never vote for her. You know what, I'm going to vote for the other guy. And that other guy is
Donald Trump.
So I'm saying that if Bernie Sanders is so patriotic, and like he says, and he said things like, we can't possibly have Donald Trump become president of this country. If that's true, then why are you working so hard to ensure that that happens?
I personally think that this cycle is unlike any other I've ever witnessed. This election is going, you know, people on either side, you have the far out there liberals that are saying, you know, there's no way Trump can win. Trump is not electable. Then you have, you know, the same on the conservatives, the way out there guys that are diehard in Trump's corner saying, you know, there's no way that he can lose. This election is going to be so close.
I think that there are people
so much on swing voters. Both candidates are so unbelievably unlikable right now.
Well,
would have seen this coming, this would have been the perfect opportunity for a third party to put a moderate out there.
Yeah. But you know what? The Republicans and the conservatives for the last 8 years, they have attacked moderates as much as they've attacked the liberals. So I don't know if a moderate could have won because a lot of those people are so whiny babies about it. They're like, I'd rather vote for Hillary than vote for a rhino without realizing listen, this is what you got to do. If you're the Republicans, then you have to get a moderate elected. If Mitt Romney was elected now and he goes in, God forbid, does a good job, which, by the way, some of Romney's stuff, I think he probably could have done a really good job. I didn't vote for him.
I don't think that he would have been as bad a president as I did at the time when he was running.
I think Obama was a much better president. But right now, if Romney's running, I'm not so sure I don't vote for him. You know, I'm not so sure that he couldn't have said something to sway me one way or the other. Now there's no doubt in my mind I will be supporting Hillary Clinton. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what I will do. However,
I can't say I'm supporting Hillary Clinton, but I can't say that I'd vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, of course you're not going to.
But other people are going to say, "Well, if you don't vote for Hillary, if you a no vote is a vote for for Trump. No, yeah. No, I want to sleep at night, and I can't vote for Hillary.
And
so maybe for me, hitting the reset button is the better option.
Well, I think if there would have been a good moderate candidate, this
Joe
would
Biden,
have been the chance. If Joe Biden would have ran, I think he could have
won. If Joe Biden would have ran, I would have been in Joe Biden's
corner. He could have won.
No, hands down at this point.
I mean, but then again, there were very good moderate candidates. Republicans just wanted nothing to do with John Kasich. They didn't want anything to do with him, which is a shame. Very good candidate.
Ted Cruz, I can understand not wanting anything to do
God,
with.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't elect him to clean my windows, let alone become president. Okay.
I think a Marco Rubio could have been somebody you could have gotten.
Yeah,
to move
if he doesn't make it about the size, center. If he doesn't make it about the size of Trump's hands, he probably ends up moving ahead when Trump says something ridiculous. But when he made it the personal, he was done.
This year,
as soon as he became Little Marco, of which Trump is very good at, as soon as he's Little Marco, he was over. Anyway, let me get the local. I want to get the local news before we run out of time, okay?
And
get your thoughts on it. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, this is according to the Associated Press, is suing Jimmy John's because Jimmy John's is improper. This is what she's saying. Jimmy John's is improperly forcing low-level employees to sign agreements, preventing them from seeking jobs with competitors. By locking low-wage workers into their jobs and prohibiting them from seeking better-paying jobs elsewhere, the companies have no reason to increase their wages or benefits, Madigan has said. This agreement prevents employees from working for any business located within 3 miles of a Jimmy John's that derives at least 10% of its revenue from submarine or deli sandwiches. A later version of the agreements changed the restriction to 2 miles.
I hope she doesn't accept this.
And so she's suing them, saying, hey, you guys, you can't restrict your employees. Now,
not those wages, you can't.
I am not a fan. Well, at any wage, I don't think you should. I am not a fan of no-compete contracts, as you know. In radio, the first dozen years or so of my career, I had to sign a no-compete contract that would say, if I leave a radio station or I am fired from a radio station, it is illegal for me to work for any other radio station within a so many hundred mile radius, okay?
Basically in their market.
Yeah. In other words, you had to move, and that was legal. You would be fired, and you'd have to wait 6 months to go work. And thank God around 2002, I believe, 2001, 2002, the Illinois General Assembly passed a law making those illegal. They said, you can't keep someone from working. And here's the deal, and this still sits today. People in the broadcast industry, this is the rule of law that we follow in the state of Illinois. If you quit a radio, if you have a contract and you quit a radio station, you decide to walk out on the contract, they can sue you. You can't quit a radio station while you're under contract, okay? Number two,
exactly.
you can't quit a radio station under any type of agreement, even under an employment agreement, and then say, you know what, I quit. I'm going to start working across the street. You can't do that, okay? Also, if you are fired, if a radio station fires you and they try to hold your no-compete contract against you, you can tell them to go to you-know-where. You can be fired one day from a radio station and the very next day end up on a competing radio station and there's nothing they can do about it. There's just nothing they can do because a no-compete contract when you are fired is disallowed, all right? A no-compete contract when you quit has legs. And there are ways that they can prevent you from working for another radio station. I just went through this. As you know, when I was let go from WTAX, there was an agreement that said you are not allowed to do this, 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 and this for this length of time.
But they had to do certain things themselves.
And what they said is we're going to pay you your wage. You will be paid your way. So basically, I was paid. And I don't think I'm breaking any rules here because I no longer, I have no, you know, there's no more agreement.
The whole agreement.
Yeah, I was paid the duration of my contract. You know what I mean? For the full time I wasn't working, because if not, then the day they fired me right around Christmas. I could have gone the next day and worked at another radio station, but because they were paying me, my choice was you know, I wanted to keep getting paid.
I'll go ahead and do this.
Yeah, I mean, and now, don't get me wrong, I could have went ahead and worked for another radio station. And their only recourse would be to that they don't have to pay me. You know what I mean?
Getting back to the Jimmy John's thing.
Yeah. So for Jimmy John's to do this, it seems, my God, if you could do it for the radio industry, we're not making a ton of money, but you are talking about, you know, dozens of thousands of dollars. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking with radio professionals.
You're not talking minimum wage.
Right. When it comes to Jimmy John's, these people are making right at the state minimum wage of $8.25.
With no benefits.
Zero benefits, because
They're part-time workers.
Jimmy makes sure they get their ass home at 29 minutes or 29 hours, so he doesn't have to pay them those over, you know, the benefits that kick in at, I think, 30 hours or whatever, you know.
To me, that's where the real right-to-work laws apply.
So
not getting rid of unions and collective bargaining, but saying that I can't have multiple jobs when I'm only working part-time. Now, that's right to work.
I'm working 29 hours a week, all right, and I'm making sandwiches at Jimmy John's for $8.25. I've got a family that I need to feed, or maybe I just need to feed myself. Or maybe I'm just a hard-working person saving up for college, or whatever my situation is. For Jimmy John's to say, hey, it's illegal for you to take a second job.
Because this pizza joint down the road is also making submarine sandwiches.
Yeah, it is 100% BS. You know what I mean? It's BS. You can't sit there and deny a person to better themselves. So I'm telling you, Jimmy John's going to lose this. They're going to lose this lawsuit.
Where's the outrage from the Illinois Policy Institute on this?
No, they're all for Jimmy John's, because Jimmy is a big contributor to the Republican Party.
So trust me,
they are 100% behind Jimmy John's.
You mean they're behind it because it's corporate-driven?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, silly me.
Here, another local story. All right, let's get to this. They did a visitor survey of people coming to Springfield. All right, this is from Tim Landis, who is a fantastic writer for the State Journal Register. Tim Landis, he has a story that came out in today's State Journal Register.
Where are these surveys being taken place at? Like historic venues?
They did them of just visitors to Springfield. I'll give you here. The typical visitor to Springfield, according to the report, was a white married couple, ages 46 and up, with no children younger than 18 at home.
I've been saying this forever, Ray. I have been saying this forever.
No young people, of course. It's all...
No, because
you know,
if you got children in this economy,
yeah,
and you only got one or two vacations a year, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Springfield just isn't going to hit it for me because of lack of things for children and families.
The couples come to Springfield. They travel by car, and usually come of round trips less than 500 miles. They stay in Springfield an average of 3 nights, and they spend an average of only $227 per person.
Wow, that's a budget.
Summer is the peak travel period. However, October is also popular. Here's the top activities that people do in Springfield. They go to historic sites.
Uh-huh.
They eat out. They go to museums, of which I believe our state had closed.
They closed the state museum, so that leaves the presidential museum and library, the Civil War, and maybe the one out there at Camp Lincoln.
They take tours and they do all things Abraham Lincoln. However, the survey said that they were less aware of the region's wildlife attractions. They were not aware of art galleries, wineries, microbreweries, theaters, shows, and they didn't seem to care about Route 66. And 3/4 of visitors use the travel website in order to plan their trips, okay?
Now, see, this surprises me about the Route 66, because up here, up in northern Sherman and Williamsville, from where I'm at, right, we do have a lot of there's these companies out of Chicago that are putting a lot of Europeans, because they're very, very fond of the old Route 66 show.
Yeah.
They're renting them old classic cars to take a trip on Route 66.
Yeah, but Tommy, they don't stop in Springfield, because we really we're so Lincoln centric. We're so in love with Abraham Lincoln that we really don't do anything to invite those people. Those people drive through Springfield. But there are
they stop at the Cozy Dog, I think.
Yeah, there are other cities. There's other cities in the state of Illinois that really embrace
cater to the
that.
Route 66.
Yeah. They embrace it. Go down to like between like Litchfield and Mount Olive and stuff, where where the highways are. It's obvious where 66 was. It's not that easy to find old 66 in Springfield.
No,
because the way they got it set up.
Once you leave Williamsville, it gets very, very confusing.
Yeah, and
until you get south,
and they don't embrace it the way they should. But you're right. There's a lot of people that want to do it, and we're under. You know, we just.
I have always felt that the Lincoln Sites Commission, or however it's ran, it feels like they're in competition with the rest of Springfield. I don't think they do a good enough job of trying to encompass all of what Springfield has to offer.
I invite people to go to the State Journal Register, or if you have a subscription like I do, just go to SJR or SJ-R.com and read Tim Landis's article about this survey. It is eye-opening. All right, I have a couple more things. We're already running late. I'm sorry, everyone. I know we said we'd go an hour, but we're already over. Whatever. Springfield City Council approved a $1.6 million tax increment fund request. That's a TIF request from Horace Mann, despite the fact that people were objecting like crazy to it.
What does Horace Mann need, Ray?
Well, here's what they wanted to do. All right. They want to... Horace Mann wants to use the money to buy a property on 9th Street from the Salvation Army.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to tear it down.
And build a parking lot.
And build a parking lot.
And they need TIF money for that.
Yeah, they gave them $1.6 million of TIF money. So they can do this. So people are like, wait a minute. Let me get this right. All right. Let me get this right. You're going to give a huge corporation in Springfield $1.6 million so they can buy a building, an old building, all right, and tear it down to put up a parking lot. Now, TIF money, this is what a lot of people are angry. TIF money is tax increment funds, which are supposed to be used to what, Tommy? Redevelop and better
redevelop
the city.
And to bring in more business and more revenue. I don't see how this parking lot's going to do that.
No. This would be tearing down a building and putting up a parking lot. Let me ask you, Tommy, just yes or no. Does putting up a parking lot better the city of Springfield?
Only in one condition, Ray.
Why?
One condition is if Horace Mann says, when we're closed, we will allow free parking for the convention center.
Yeah.
Then, yes, that would benefit the area. Otherwise, if this is going to be where you're going to see all these signs that says, hey, your car is going to be towed for a huge fee by such and such towing company, and you're going to have to pay an exuberant amount of money to get your car back, hell no, it doesn't do anything for anyone.
Yeah. Now, what the Salvation Army is now, they're not only are they mandating that they're going to give the $1.6 million to Horace Mann, but they're mandating that the Salvation Army take the $1 million because the Salvation Army's only getting $1 million of it, okay? So let's face it. Horace Mann's getting $600,000 to do. I don't know what that money's for.
I don't see.
Is it cost $600 million to tear something down and turn it into a parking lot? It seems like that's a lot of money
for the asphalt.
Yeah, but it seems like an excessive amount of money.
I would think that that could be done cheaper myself. I don't know what it's going to take to tear this building down. I don't know if there's asbestos in the concrete, and they're afraid that, you know, there's going to have to be asbestos abatement. But, yeah, it seems like an awful lot of money for that. But
then the city is also mandating that the Salvation Army has to take the money and buy the old Gold's Gym building.
Which to me, you've lived here as long as I have. You see how fast abandoned properties in this town go from something that was usable to something that is just garbage.
But dude, let me ask you, Tommy. When they first put that up, didn't you say to yourself, "Why are they putting it there? It's going to fail." Even if you wanted to work out, I wouldn't go there to work out. I got to be honest. I didn't even know how to get there. Like, I would travel on Clear Lake, and a couple times I said, "Oh, I should check that out." I bet that's not. I've lived here, you know, now for the majority of my life. I've been here, I think. And I couldn't even tell you how to get there.
It's because the owner's wife, who owns Gold's Gym, owned the property next door, which was Constructs. It's the one that built the cheap prefab buildings, which, of course, that what Gold's Gym is made out of. But they were right next door, so he owned the property, and it was a cheap way to get it there. I thought it was going to be a dumb idea.
So rather than say, okay, you guys made a bad purchase. Of course it went under because nobody went there to work out. And, you know, I'm sorry, you made a bad business deal. Now you got to live with it. Instead, isn't the city in essence bailing them out as well by ensuring that they're going to get $1 million
their building? I think the bank has already foreclosed on it. So if anybody's going to benefit, it's going to be, I can't remember. I think it's Marine Bank.
So the bank,
I could be wrong.
Good Lord. So now the bank is getting the money.
Definitely it's going to be a bank because it's already been foreclosed. The doors have been
locked. They've already lost their money.
The Gold's Gym, that's done. They were given an extension. They lost the extension. They were evicted. This now belongs to a bank. So,
Horace Mann's is eventually going to lose their parking lot because of the they have to put a new train station in. And I think they want to put the train station where that old parking, where the current parking lot is for Horace Mann.
I think this is going to be a...
On the other side of 9th Street, you know.
An all-encompassing, I think they're going to put the bus station.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a transportation hub.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be no urine there. All right, last but not...
Will be a fantastic place in a few years.
I want to point this out. The aldermen who voted no against this were Herman Senor, Doris Turner, and Joe McManaman. Everybody else voted for it. They were swayed for it. And I'm not saying it's a bad or good idea. We're just simply reporting that that's what the truth is. Last but not least, Tommy, to end the show, and I wanted to talk about this a month ago, but we couldn't do our show then. Now we can do the show. I'll bring up this subject to end this week's show, which is this, Tommy.
Give it to me, Ray.
What is the big freaking deal with people speeding on South MacArthur? So what if people want to go 45 to 50 miles an hour on a stretch of road that has nothing on it but really good pavement? When I'm out driving, I will get off of 72 and I will get on South MacArthur. And I first get off and there's Shields, and Shields looks very nice. But as soon as I get past Shields, there is nothing on that road except excellent pavement that invites you to drive fast all the way till you get to, the rental place in the CVS. Yeah. And the chicken place, Show Me's. There is nothing else on that road. So for some reason, why is the city of Springfield so concerned that someone might be speeding on that road? Has there been any deaths? Has anybody died on that road?
I have not.
Has anybody been? Have any children been? Have children been run over? Is there something
like this?
Why are we so concerned?
The only thing I can come up with is that if maybe they're doing a study of, you know, maybe some business is looking at it or some church or something that's going to have kids.
I don't understand it.
Build something there, but I'm with you. I mean, you got four lanes of pristine asphalt.
Yes.
Going out to an interstate. What is wrong with 40 to 50 miles per hour? 30 miles an hour just seems like it's going to take you forever to get through that stretch
of road. They seem to be angry. They seem to be angry because, well, people are speeding and it's against the law. Okay, then here you go. Change the speed limit. Change the speed limit. And then the cops are threatening. And I don't know if this is particularly the police. It's just whoever's bothering with it. I think whoever has a problem with it, I think they're going to the police with the problem. And I don't know if this is somebody in the city or if it's... I don't know who would care about this. And what they're doing is you know...
Isn't it McMenamin's?
I don't know if it's his issue or if it's Job's, because I think that's Job, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought that was minimum wages.
It's area. I love that, by the way. It's one of their property. Or it's one of the. Part of it. I'll have to check the map, but part of it's 6, part of it's a 7, if I'm not mistaken, depending on what side of the road you're on.
But have you ever been on 5th and 6th Street any time of day and seen how fast people travel? You would think that would be more of a concern.
Well, still, there's so much business on 6th Street that people are going with the flow of traffic. And the top speed is still pretty much around speed limit, because the speed limit there is, in some places, what's that, 35, 40 on that stretch? But I'm saying...
Yeah, but there's places in downtown where you've got...
There's so many things going on that... The traffic itself will remain slow just because people are turning off and it's busy. South MacArthur, I can't tell you how many times I'm the only car on that street.
Exactly.
And I'll admit it, I speed. I speed on that road. In fact, I intentionally will take that road because I can speed.
Because it is quicker.
And it's a beautiful patch of road. I wish everyone in Springfield was
at. Like you said, I don't know how many times I've gone out to Shields.
Yeah.
And no matter what time of day it is, I'm never in traffic.
Yeah. And Shields, by the way, Shields has nice traffic. There's always people at Shields. And, you know, and I think it's wonderful that people come from out of town and stuff to go to Shields. I think that's great.
I think they put it in the perfect location. I think they got it right close enough to the interstate where it's not affecting the up toward MacArthur itself.
How many times have I said the perfect business to go in that stretch of road is a movie theater?
I've said this
dozens, and Tommy's probably sick of hearing it from me. I've been saying this forever. Put in a movie
sports
theater.
Complex.
Yeah, put a 16-plex out there. I'm telling you why the movies are the best way to go. You put a 16-plex out there, and what do people like to go on the weekends? They like to have dinner and a movie. So you put in, you know, that Ingrain does pretty well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then you can get some restaurants around it.
And it'd probably bring that Quaker Steak and Lube back to life.
And I'll tell you what else it would bring to life. Somebody would put up, then they'd go, you know what, let's put up a gas station. And someone would build a gas station there, like a Quick and Easy or some type of top-notch gas station. Then it would go
up big
there.
One.
And then all of a sudden you'd see somebody like a McDonald's say, you know what, we should put a McDonald's up right here.
Like I was saying earlier, that'd be a great place to have, like, a ball field, a real nice ball field where you could have, like, the sliders move out to.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Put up a brand new minor league park. I'm just saying there's plenty of room for opportunity out there. And one of these days, somebody's going to wake up and realize that that's something they can do with that area. But until they do, to say that we have a concern that people are speeding on that road is ridiculous. And by the way, in a city where we have people being murdered on one side of it, for them to worry about speeding on a part of the city where there's nothing going on, it just seems ridiculous.
Veterans Parkway is 45 and 50 and out by the mall.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. And, well,
and it's the same. And it's the same style build of road.
When you get north on Veterans, okay. When you get past, like, Jefferson and stuff, I'll even go earlier than that. When you get in between like Lawrence and like Cider Mill and all those areas, they don't care. Nobody cares how fast you go.
Oh, no, it's like the interstate when you get up toward Peoria Road. It's 65 out by 8th Street.
Yeah, just go. So why is South MacArthur, why are we so worried about South MacArthur?
There's got to be a squeaky wheel out there influencing an alderman.
There's a squeaky wheel. There is some kind of busybody. There's something going on. There's something going on that is making that an issue. And trust me, it's ridiculous.
It's not public safety.
There's no reason. There is just no reason for anyone to be concerned about how fast people go on that patch of road. It seems like people are complaining just so they have something to complain about, which is pretty much a great description of Springfield. That in a nutshell.
And we're going to have to talk about this on the next show when you say about complaining. I mean, we can go into the list of, you know, how defensive this city has become with trying to keep the state jobs because they don't have anything else going on, and city residency. I mean, Springfield's become a real, real tight, little uppity little place.
Uppity's a great word for it. Well, there you go. There's show number one of the official Ray Lytle show. Show number one. Tommy, I thought you did a very good job.
Well, thank you, Ray. I enjoyed it immensely, and I can't wait to continue doing this.
We'll be back with another episode next week. Get you through the summer. Put your thoughts down on the webpage or send me an email, raylytle@hotmail.com. Remember, the Ray Lytle Show Facebook page is up and running. We want to hear your thoughts. Start your threads, and we'll talk about it next week. Good show, Tommy. Talk to you then. So long, everybody.
Thank you, Ray. Bye-bye.